Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
I'm John Batchel with my colleague Evan Ellis, who is in Costa Rica, lucky fellow. However, we're headed south to Panama. Evan, I want to update the Panama story because things are hanging around and haven't been resolved. First thing I learned is that the tension between Washington and Panama City over the Chinese influence of two port facilities, one on either side of the canal, has not been resolved. That the private equity company, I believe was BlackRock, the bid for those ports around the world, and including the two Panama ports at either side of the canal, is remaining unfinished because of interference, kibitzing, I don't know their polite words and their impolite words, by the Chinese Communist Party to hold up the sale, though there was money on the table. The second matter that hasn't been resolved is the visits of Mr. Rubio right away, right after his confirmation. And then I believe Mr. Hegseth visited as well to speak with President Mulino about the Chinese interference or presence, and also about the possibility of the U.S. basing jungle training school in Panama, which would be a return of the U.S. security blanket in some fashion. Either of those issues, have they been resolved? Either the jungle training school and the U.S. presence reinvigorating the security of Panama, or the two ports out of Hong Kong?
Well, John, certainly all of these issues and the associated maneuverings are in process. With respect to BlackRock, to me, it's an interesting show of the way that China continues to have the ability to exert leverage over companies, even if companies are not traditional SOEs. And so in the case of Hutchison, which has always been a Hong Kong-based company, Li Ka-shing, the owner who's believed to have PLA ties, but also had spent an amount of time in previous years trying to divest himself of many of his Chinese-related operations, found that when he proposed this big sale to BlackRock, in part trying to get out of that business that was putting him as a target of then incoming Trump administration, that this made the Chinese deeply uncomfortable. There was not only criticism, but the Chinese actually threatened to do a major antitrust investigation against Li Ka-shing and his company's operations in China itself. And so the question that really informally has been the one of the options that has emerged from the way the deal was playing out is that the China Overseas Shipping Company, Costco, actually has a potential role in the new port deal. And the Chinese government has been basically insisting that Costco not be kept out of this deal. Well, ironically, Costco has been deeply involved as a Chinese SOE in support of the PLA across the world in PLA operations evacuating Chinese personnel from Libya in 2011, from Yemen in 2014, and other things around the world. And so it's kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater to try to suggest that in order to get Hutchison out of Panama with those two port operations, you essentially bring Costco, a much more PLA-tied firm, in. And so that is in negotiation. With respect to some of the other things that clearly Secretary Rubio had made U.S. concerns about the Chinese presence clear. The Chinese are deeply embedded in commercial deals. Not only Costco operations is one of the biggest users of the Panama Canal, not only Chinese involvement in construction of a new fourth bridge near Panama City itself, but also things like manufacturing and distribution operations, many of which are based out of the port of Cologne, where Hutchison has one of its major port operations, and also out of Panama Pacifico on the other side. Just to name a few, like Huawei is there in telecom. You have electricity projects. You have construction projects. But as the Trump administration tries to navigate this and trying to address some of the concerns of how the PRC could use or shut down the Panama Canal in time of war, or perhaps indirectly or surreptitiously, one of the questions has been the long-standing collaboration the Panamanian government has with the U.S. through exercises like Panamax to defend the Panama Canal in time of war. So one of the commitments in that regard when Secretary of Defense Hegseth came down just a couple months ago was the possibility of increasing, basically reopening, activating U.S. Periodic use of the jungle warfare training school's way of increasing the presence of the U.S. on the ground. Technically not a permanent presence like the U.S. had before it withdrew from the Panama Canal treaty commitments in 1999, but essentially a more significant rotational presence, not unlike what the United States has in places like Australia and the Philippines. And so my understanding is that is proceeding forward. The plans are being made. There are some intermediate activities at that base that are taking place, but certainly that question of how to ramp up the presence in Panama, consistent with President Trump's directive and the agreements with Secretary of Defense Hegseth, that is definitely proceeding forward, although slowly.
And so what we also have is an ongoing unresolved story about the copper mine, about Social Security, and about the cost of living. In other words, Panama is part of the chain of complaints by the younger people that things aren't going well for the Mulino government or the city or the people of Panama. Does that make them more disposed towards China than the U.S.? Because it's not paradise there, I'm told, especially about that copper mine.
Well, Panama certainly does have a number of problems. As you alluded to, one of the difficulties was, that mine that when it previously operated accounted for as much as 5% of Panama's GDP. The closing down of that due to environmental and other concerns was considered a bit of a kind of a political and administrative error of the previous government. And President Mulino has been trying to figure out a way constitutionally and legally to get it reopened and contributing once again. But also some of the forces on the left, the labor unions, there's a very radical union called Suntrax in Panama that in conjunction with the indigenous people in that area has been blockading roads. And there's been some concern of essentially trying to bring the Panamanian economy to a standstill through those blockages. And so there are a lot of difficulties. I would say that these are things that don't necessarily push the Panamanians into the arms of the Chinese. To me, what I see is on the one hand, Panamanians are interested in the Chinese. I mean, they're a major user of the canal. They are a major part of Panama's position, both as a finance hub and as a commerce hub of the world. And so it wants to keep that Panama connection. The Panamanian families, the Multas, the Arismanias, the Alemanas, and others all have their separate side deals involving the Chinese. And yet, Panama also is a place whose development historically, even since its independence, has been linked to the United States. Many U.S. expats there, many good memories of how the U.S. presence actually developed Panama.
30 seconds, Professor.
So, certainly, despite the willingness or desire to continue to do business with the Chinese, also a desire to stay close, both politically and economically, to the United States, which is a point of reference for Panama, not only now, but really throughout its history, going all the way back to its independence.
Professor Abinellis, on the road in Costa Rica.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out. footwear designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Annabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.